It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? Pokemon cards have apparently become like 1990s Air Jordans. At 1:30, we're talking about the easing of restrictions with COVID. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with Dustin McComas of Orange Bloods. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two on a Friday. Once again, congrats to all the heroes that got us to the CDC decision yesterday, whether you were closed off in your basement the whole time, whether you were going to lake parties the whole time, or whether you were somewhere in between. You all had your part to play. All the athletes that took the time, all the medical folks that took the swabs and stuck it in the noses of all those athletes or into the mouths of all those athletes. It enabled sports to happen on some level, if not normal levels. And now we get to yesterday and the CDC has great things to say. So a lot of reasons for that. Obviously the science folks, the medical folks, vaccine folks, frontline folks. There's a lot of people that will make the heroes today. But all of you, whatever you've been doing, I'm considering you a hero today. Because we need to bring it all together instead of just yelling and screaming at each other. We'll talk more about those new CDC guidelines, what it means for sports coming up. Also, earlier in the week, we threw out the comic discussion because of George Carlin's birthday. But at some point today, we may get into our favorite female comics because I brought that up the other day. Trey said he wanted time to think on it, marinate a little bit. We may get into some of our favorite female comics today just because. But also, we're going to get into some stuff with our next guest. We do it every Friday at this time. It's the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline, one of my favorite guys in the business. It is Dustin McComas, the King of Ping himself from orangebloods.com at DMcComasOB on Twitter. Dustin, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys, and yeah, very much a light at the end of the tunnel kind of week with the latest stuff from the CDC, and I'm reading reports today about, you know, some Major League Baseball stadiums are set to increase their capacity and things like that. So definitely some positive vibes surrounding this whole pandemic thing this week.
Yeah, and Dustin, let's start right there then, because I was excited to see that the Braves had made the decision, but I kept saying it and thinking it, and I said it on air as well. I really wanted some more of the northern teams, Midwestern teams, you know, because the stereotype is going to be, oh, those folks in the South, they're crazy and they'll take the chances. So, A, I was glad Atlanta felt comfortable enough to do it, but then you're talking about other teams. Have we started to see, like, is there any indication that, you know, big time Northern and Midwest, you know, Cardinals, Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, do we have any indication that they're ready to go?
I think the latest one I saw today was from the Reds. I could have swore I saw them on Twitter that they're increasing their capacity. It might actually be full capacity.
Nice.
If I was reading the thing correctly. So I know the New York teams were kind of toying with the idea of, like, you know, if you're fully vaccinated, we'll increase capacity or something like that. So I think you'll probably see a lot of these organizations start to follow the lead of some of these other teams. But I believe the Reds, if I'm remembering correctly, I want to say that they were increasing it to full capacity. So, you know, as is typical in the sports industry, it just takes one and then the others eventually follow once they see somebody jump in the water.
Yeah, that could be really good. And into the world that we normally talk with you about, we're going to get into Texas baseball, but you know, that made me think of Omaha, too. It made me think of regional play. It made me think of super regional play and Omaha. Any indications that, you know, if the Longhorns are a top eight and they get to have stuff at their house, that their people get to show up and watch them?
Yeah, so I think the NCAA is basically recommending things right now. And I know some Texas fans on Twitter, when they were watching the TCU series, were like, wait a minute, like, that doesn't look like 50% up there in Fort Worth, mm-hmm. which I guess that's what they called it. It certainly didn't look like that. But yeah, so they actually did a release today for announcing the 20 predetermined possible hosting sites for the regional play. And they said, based on the recent guidance from the NCAA COVID group, the NCAA will allow up to 50% fan capacity at these predetermined sites. So that's where the NCAA is standing right now. Could that change? Certainly, but although the clock is kind of ticking, we're not that far away from the start of postseason play. But that's what they're sticking to right now. And I would be a little surprised if they veered from that, just because there's just not enough time really to get some things in place. But They are going to allow up to 50%. I guess that's their recommendation for these sites in the postseason.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes on that. Hopefully those numbers can continue to go up, or even getting 50%. It's going to be a nice crowd at that level too. Talking with Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. So, Dustin, this Longhorn team gets a chance to take that breath now and take some finals. Had the no contest this week, but to be fair, it was a no contest when it was called a no contest at that point. But give me your thoughts on, now that we've seen it against those three teams. We were, weeks ago talking about, all right, it's Oklahoma State there, and it's Texas Tech, and then it's at TCU. Now that you've seen it all play out, what'd you think of this group being able to battle to that win and, on Sunday, get it closed out? And I say battle. In the end, that last game wasn't, but they were able to get that series win.
Yeah, I think their Sunday performance was a really big statement just about their potential. I think you very much have to treat this team now is not just a threat to reach Omaha in the College World Series, but they're a threat if they do reach there to stay a while. And we haven't seen a Texas team like that in some time. The 2018 group made it to Omaha, but they weren't really going to be a true threat against some of those loaded teams in the College World Series to hang out there a while. And of course, they went 2-Q and came home. Fantastic season. Had the great regular season close to win the Big 12. Cody Clemens kind of puts the team on his shoulder. Some really good development stories on the mound, and they make the College World Series. I think that this team is the first team since 2014 that really does check all the boxes to be a College World Series team and to be a team that if it gets there to compete. If you're looking for kind of some areas of concern, there's not really any obvious ones. Yeah, the bullpen and starting rotation can be a little bit more consistent, but Pete Hansen's really finding his groove right now and is starting to look like the guy that had a zero ERA in 2020. And Ty Madden's doing his thing, and the blister didn't bother him too much in Fort Worth. And Tristan Stevens has been a fantastic story. So it's hard to look at that and say, well, we don't know about that group. And then if Colby Kubitschek's your number four in a regional, that's a really good number four to have. Yeah, the bullpen's young, but I think that they made the loudest statement of anybody in Fort Worth with the way that Tanner Witt and Aaron Nixon and those guys got into the mound in a pressure environment, huge situations, and performed extremely well. Yeah, they had some base running errors, uncharacteristic base running errors in that TCU series. I think that that was just kind of a one-off thing where they're just trying to force the issue a little bit too much. Yeah, maybe small ball can improve a little bit more. Yeah, what's going to happen in left field? But you're really reaching to try to find a true weakness with this group. And I think it's the first team since the 2014 group where you can kind of look at it and say, man, they've got a great mix of youth and veteran leadership. They've got the talent. There's not really an easy out in the lineup 1-9, which is something you couldn't really say about that 2018 group. And with the way they're starting pitching and performs, it allows their bullpen to be a strength. So I think that they proved by winning that series at TCU, kind of coming off of that odd Texas Tech series with the weather and things like that, that they're very much a threat to reach the College World Series and compete there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And Dustin, talk about the defense behind that pitching. Obviously, you got to make all of the normal plays. You got to make the everyday plays. But then sometimes in baseball, in big moments, you got to make badass plays. And I feel like Texas is doing both of those things. Guys diving in the, in the outfield making big plays. Zubia's play at first just seems to be getting better and better. Give me your trust level for the leather as we head into towards postseason.
It's really high. Cam Williams has been a bit shaky at third base recently after having a really, really good start defensively to begin the season. I think that he'll become a little bit more steady, but he's never going to be just he's never going to be the Trey Faltini version at third base, and Trey Faltini makes plays on a routine basis that, I mean, you might not see some Major League Baseball shortstops make with his ability to go into the hole with his arm strength and up the middle and his athleticism and his hands and things like that. I hope Texas fans aren't taking for granted just what you can see with that guy with the leather. But, the outfield defense, I think, has gotten a lot more consistent. Mikey Antico had a huge catch in that TCU series. Eric Kinney's become a little bit more steady. Douglas Hodo is a really solid defensive right fielder. Mitchell Daly has just been fantastic defensively. He basically won the job with that performance at Texas State a long, long time ago, where it felt like every single ball was hit to him, and he just made play after play after play just kind of claimed his spot in the lineup. He mentioned Zuby as well, who's been really solid and consistent over at first place. And I like the catching duo, Silas Arjuan and DJ Petrinsky, both solid guys. DJ's caught a lot of innings in college. Silas is a really solid defensive catcher. So that's been a plus for them. You know, when you have a pitching staff that, you know, Tristan Stevens is a guy that's going to, people are going to put the ball in play. You know, Pete Hansen's a guy that people are going to put the ball in play. You need a good defense behind those guys, and that's what Texas has.
No doubt about it. Dustin McComas, OrangeBloods.com, joining us here. Texas, again, off for finals. Got a Tuesday game next week. Then it's the series against West Virginia to finish out Big 12 play. So, Dustin, as you look at it, we all know how it kind of, you know, breaks down. They do still have a shot at that regular season Big 12 championship. And then, obviously, you know, they'll head into the tournament. Based on kind of what you've seen, you know how tough it is for it to have a sweep in, you know, in college baseball, but going into it, knowing what you know about all four teams, where's your sort of percentage chance on Texas being able to pull this off and getting what would kind of be a share of the title, but ultimately they get it because they beat TCU? So what are the chances for you that they get this done and they get a regular season title?
I think probably about 1 in 4, like a 25% chance. You know, Kansas State's had their issues, but they've been pretty pesky at home. You know, they beat Texas Tech at home in a series. They beat Oklahoma at home in a series. And anytime you've got a guy like Jordan Wicks on Friday night, you know, if he's capable of just going out there and dominating you for 7-8 innings, it doesn't matter who your offense is. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's, you know, projected to be a mid to late first round pick. So you've got a chance anytime you got a guy like that on the mound. West Virginia, I think, is better than their record. They've got a pitcher as well in their rotation that's pushing his way up Major League Baseball draft board. So, as you said, sweeping anybody in conference play, no matter where the games are, is tough. But I think there is a chance that Kansas State can win that series at home against TCU. Just like there's a chance that West Virginia could win that series at home against Texas, although I think that's a more unlikely thing than Kansas State winning its series at home against TCU. So I'd say about a 25% chance. And I really wonder if Texas wins that Friday game and Kansas State gets that Friday game behind Wicks, you know, does TCU just come out and be like a super tight team knowing what's at stake? And you've got Texas kind of surging from behind and playing at home in the friendly confines and things like that. I do wonder how TCU reacts in that situation, but still probably can't give it more than like a 25% chance.
All right, Dustin, so I keep hearing about how the hosting situation and the tournament situation is going to be different this year. Give me the basics, though. If I get picked as a top 8 seed in the country, do I still get to host as long as I'm alive?
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, okay. There won't be a situation where it's like, okay, you're the number 2 national seed and you could potentially go on the road for a super regional. So that's – I do think, though, you're probably going to see – at least in the initial hosting situation, you might see some number 1 seeds have to go on the road. You know, there's a couple teams like South Carolina and Florida State and a couple others. I think Louisville as well, that could end up playing their way into being a number 1 type of seed. And just, you know, that team would probably just have to go on the road. So the NCAA wanted to try to get out in front of this with the planning purposes, with the COVID protocols and everything like that, just to make sure that they know what the hosting sites are going to be. So they're not kind of scrambling last minute for these places to have, you know, be COVID friendly and in the TV production, all that sort of stuff. So you could see some, I would be surprised if there's not at least 1 or 2 teams that might be a number 1 seed on the road in a regional. But if you're like a national top 8 seed and you're part of this 20 host site group, as long as you keep winning, you're going to keep playing at home.
Gotcha. Okay. Just in case, you know, members of Occupy Left Field or other Longhorn baseball fans are wondering and listening, I just want to make sure they know me, that they can head out to the dish. And as of right now, other than maybe getting swept by West Virginia, is that what would take them out of an 8 seed for you right now? Would anything else do that?
I think that's the only thing that would kind of put into question. And even then, they've done so much in terms of their body of work. You know, they're number 4 in RPI right now, number 11 strength of schedule. I think that would be the only scenario. And it would take, you know, they'd have to be swept, and then some other teams would have to have some strong performances to kind of surge up the list and grab that spot. But, you know, that series win at TCU was just such a huge deal when you consider TCU's the number 5 team in the country in RPI. And then, you know, conference standings a big deal. Q1 wins against top 50 RPI teams is a big deal. And, you know, Texas right now, I'd say their resume on paper, the only program that can undoubtedly say they have a better resume is Arkansas. Maybe Vanderbilt because they have so many Q1 wins. They have 17 compared to 12 for Texas. But other than that, good luck finding a better resume than the one Texas has right now.
Dustin, speaking of schedules, transitioning to the NFL, what'd you think of the Steelers' schedule? By some metrics, it may be the toughest in the league.
Yeah, that's just kind of how the AFC North is now, I feel like. It's just I long for the days where it was just a pushover kind of league. And I haven't really dove into, like, the whole, like, how many days rest type things. I was reading on Twitter today the Eagles seem to have gotten a really brutal situation. I think they play something like four games in like or three games in 17 days or something like that, and two of them are against the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Like, they got a really tough end of their schedule. But yeah, you look at the Steelers, you know, just where they opened at Buffalo. I mean, they're going to be an underdog there, and you kind of look at who they're matched up with. You know, they're going to have to go to Minnesota. They're going to have to go to, I believe, Kansas City as well, and hosting Tennessee. Like, it's tough. You know, it's going to be, as the AFC North always is, it's going to be a really big battle. But I wonder if the AFC North is going to be able to get two teams in just because of how tough those schedules are going to be for the entire division. I mean, going on the road to San Diego, it's not a lot of pushovers on this schedule, so we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, and the Steelers, we will not get to see the Steelers against either Cleveland or Baltimore until after the bye week, and that is in week 7. So that's kind of an interesting compacting of the schedule. The Baltimore game, first one, doesn't happen until December 5th. They play Cleveland on Halloween. And then, Dustin, here's the finish. Tennessee at home at Kansas City, Cleveland at home at Baltimore. That is that's a hell of a stretch to finish with.
You better hope that you're rested and you're not chasing somebody in the standings when you're finishing like that. Oof. Because that's a really tough way to finish.
Yeah, real quick, Dustin, before I let you go, did you get a chance to watch the Drew Robinson thing last night? If not, are you planning on checking it out? Jeff Passan did a hell of a job.
I am planning on checking it out. I haven't seen it yet. I saw the home run that he hit, and I've been reading Passan's coverage of it, but it's just unbelievable. I mean, that's all I can say about it. Just when you know, if you haven't taken the time to go read Jeff's like initial story and his reporting on this, and then, you know, go watch the video of the guy hitting a home run, it's just incredible. It's you know, it's so uplifting and to see him having success. I mean, to put that in perspective, that's Triple A baseball. You know, he's not
right. He's
in the rookie league. He's not in low A. You know, he's in Triple A doing that, and I get that he was, you know, a former top pick and prospect and all those sorts of things, but to go through what he went through and to just pick it up at the Triple A level and hit a bomb already, it is incredible. But, I've read the reporting throughout the whole process from Jeff. He's done an amazing job of it, and that's definitely something I'll be watching over the weekend.
It was good. If you have a chance to check out that E60, they just called it Alive, the Drew Robinson story. It is graphic at times. It's spooky, scary, awful to hear some of the stuff, but ultimately there's an uplifting quality to it, and it was an amazing story. And maybe have the Kleenex nearby. You might get a little emotional watching that one. Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com, at DMcComasOB on Twitter. Dustin, enjoy the weekend off. Take a breath, relax, watch some Major League Baseball, and we'll talk to you next week as the Longhorns get ready for a big series.
Yeah, it's a rare no Longhorn weekend. You know, I'm not quite sure how to react. So we're going to load up the kid, head to Houston, and see some family and enjoy some time off.
Very cool. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
It's Dustin McComas. Actually, I misspoke. We won't be getting ready for a series. There will already be a game played in that series. Texas and West Virginia go Thursday, Friday, Saturday there. One other thing I would tell people, because I know Trey was interested in this. We were talking about it. Maybe Dustin is a baseball fan, is thinking about it. The only detail they don't get into with Jeff Passan and Drew Robinson is how does he see now? They never asked him that. At least they never put that part in it. I would love to know that part of it, Trey. He is a left-handed batter, so it is his lead eye that is gone. How does he see? How did that change? And it's the only thing they get into, he talks about what he saw as the attempt is happening. Like what happened when he realized he was not dead, that kind of stuff. But as far as the baseball part after he healed up, They didn't get into that. That's the part. I try to imagine, like, closing my right eye, the idea of trying to hit a homer, hit a ball that's coming at you when you're – I don't know how he does it. Like, did something take over where he still – he has total vision but only out of the one eye? I have no idea.
Yeah, it would seem like it would be a hindrance to lose your front eye.
Yeah.
In that process. And that's, maybe you have a split second more to process things. Yeah. I don't know.
It's absolutely amazing. Everything that he went through, and also just the support system around him, man, the family, the girlfriend and doctors and all the different people talking about it. It is an incredible story. Check that out if you haven't. Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. We always appreciate his time. Yesterday was a big day around the country and probably in sports too. Already we're seeing some changes with teams and protocols. The new CDC guidelines yesterday have a lot of people talking. Also today, we're going to throw out that female comic discussion. We got a new Pac-12 commissioner to talk about because he is has definitely been chosen for a couple specific reasons. We'll get into all of that, and we want you to tell us about your heroic moments on the Specs text line today, 337-3776. You're a hero for whatever you've done to get us to this point. For instance, one of our listeners says, I accept your thanks for driving a pontoon of naked strippers around Lake Travis last summer. I did my part. Yes, you did. You are one of the heroes today, and so are all of you. This is The Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Let's do it.
All right, Trey's going now with Tone Loc, Wild Thing, and it is Musical Puzzle Day. So coming up at 2:30, it is a day that Trey says is the most ridiculous national day he's ever heard of and involves music. He's playing the songs that are, I guess, a part of this. So far, it's been Bust a Move by Young MC, Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses, and now Wild Thing by Tone Loc. Now, I know this one has to be wrong, Trey. One of our listeners says, is it 1990? Welcome to the Jungle didn't come out in 1990, so it can't be that.
No, I think all these are late 80s so far.
It cannot be that. So I'm going to go with, let's see, my guess this time will be like most successful all-time summer songs. Songs that took over the summer.
Nope.
No, okay. All right, we'll get back. By the way, that one, Tone Loc and Wild Thing, that was a massive hit for him.
Oh, yes, it was.
I think at one point it might have been the most successful selling single in, like, maybe music history, but certainly rap history. Like, it was a major success in that world.
It was a big deal.
It sold a ton. That thing was everywhere.
Bigger than Young MC's principal office.
I think so. I forgot about principal's office. All right.
Back to the principal's office you go.
Go, yes. A lot of good texts coming in on the Specs text line. If you would like to tell us why you have been a hero during the COVID era, I am stating that everyone is a hero today for whatever part of it that you did. Somebody says, my staff and I that are vaccinated are now able to go unmasked at work, exclamation points, thumbs up emojis, and all that stuff. That's great. We talked about that yesterday. How will restaurants react? How will stores react? What about grocery stores, Trey? We didn't talk about that yesterday. If you're HEB and Walmart, what do you do?
They are, at least in Austin, they are keeping the mask policy in place.
Okay. So they're requesting that you wear the mask while you're in the facility and assuming the employees will still do that.
Correct.
Okay. I could see that. I figured that's what would happen. I have not gone to the grocery. I didn't go to the grocery store yesterday to see what changes might be going on there. But just a shout out to everybody who's been involved in it. And, you know, whatever it is, whatever level of guts you had, whatever level of risk you're willing to take, that's what this is all about. So I applaud everybody along those levels. Everybody's had to take some kind of risk. Even the people that are, you know, holed up in their basements, at some level they're having to risk something.
Yeah.
And for the people that went out to get the vaccine right when it was available at first, that's a risk that you're taking. If you're 75 and you're getting a vaccine, you're taking a risk. So there's all those things. And then in sports, man, just all – I was thinking today of all the players. Think about it, Trey, all those sacrifice for players down to high school kids. It's impressive what, like, the NBA crew and the WNBA crew and the NFL players, but high school football players in the state of Texas did it because they love it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it because they pay them for it. There was no collective bargaining agreement. They said, you take that swab, you stick it wherever you need to stick it, and get out of my way. I'm going to go play Texas high school football. That's unbelievable. And the parents that supported the kids and the coaches that put the protocols in place, they were taking like five extra buses. They had extra bus drivers put themselves at risk to get the kids to the games.
Yeah, that's true.
Just all these things that have to take place. And now it can feel a little more normal. Teams can travel a little more normally. And it's great. So whatever your part has been, maybe you've been a heckler. Maybe that's part of it, Trey. Maybe another one of the heroes is the people that maybe have heckled somebody in public.
We're not calling them heroes.
They're not heroes?
On either side.
Either side. No hecklers?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not calling Karens heroes, and anybody who's getting upset with somebody who's walking around by themselves outdoors without a mask over the last year. You heckled that person, you're also not a hero.
The other thing I want is a good documentary in the next year or so on the full development of those vaccines. How did it happen? Why did it happen? The teamwork that's involved to have it happen. And that's incredible stuff to get to a point of, I mean, I'm assuming if you're in that world, I'm not a vaccine expert or anything, but just to get vaccines that you could get up into 90, 95. I saw off a test out of, was it Israel, one of the results of the lab test they really liked, 97% on asymptomatic transfer is what they were showing out of one of those tests.
That's like 97% of people who get the vaccine don't transmit it.
On an asymptomatic level, right? If you're talking about an asymptomatic person, then that was, they kind of did it differently for asymptomatic versus symptomatic. They've even got one of them where I think it's like on symptomatic. Like if you've been fully vaccinated and somebody walks up to you with COVID and like coughs right in your face, there's like an 86% chance that you're going to be fine.
That person who coughed in your face is also not a hero.
Not a hero. Correct. Not a hero today. No doubt about it. So the new CDC guidelines already have the masks off at Dell Diamond. I wish this could have been retroactive, Trey, for some Texas Stars games.
Yeah.
So my man Sacamano could have gotten more games without a mask. They're kind of, they've done a bit of a different season, and they're pretty much done out there at the HEB Center in Cedar Park for their games.
Oh, are they done? Did they make the playoffs?
Well, no, it's not. I think they would have, but they decided not to do full playoffs in that league at that level.
I don't think
they're doing full AHL playoffs. I can't remember exactly how it works, but
that's a bummer. But yeah, I guess it's understandable.
They're trying to be as safe as they can. But man, it's got me excited about the concerts coming up. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
And if you got something planned for the summertime, that's got to, you know, feel pretty good. And then we'll just see now on the incentive level, what is it going to take if you're kind of on that borderline of what would it take for you to get a vaccine? Is it a trip? You know, is it a vacation that you'd like to take and be able to have that peace of mind? Is it a sports deal if I'm a season ticket holder? This needs to happen more and more. College teams need to do it. CDC in Texas need to do this. Hey, if you come to this game and you prove to us that you are fully vaccinated, we will give you a ticket for another game in the future, or we will give you free parking. Or around here, free parking would be a big deal. That'd be big.
Austin?
In this town? For Texas fans, parking for a game, that's a big deal.
Oh, you're saying like parking in lots before games? Yeah, that is a big deal.
Right? If I have to pay, let's say I have to pay $10 a game. Okay, give me 3 free games on a season. Maybe I'll think about getting your vaccine.
$30 for a vaccine? Okay.
All I know is...
If that's the bribe that it's going to take, then you've already gotten the vaccine.
All I know is, Trey, I don't play the lottery very often, but if the state of Texas comes up with this Ohio idea tomorrow, I'm in.
You're going to go get a second round of vaccines? Sign yourself up.
I'll go get both of the other ones that I didn't get. I'll get all three of them in me if I can get a, in a drawing for $1 million.
Screw it. Bring the AstraZeneca one over here, too.
Come on. Let's do it. A lot of good. Somebody says face coughers are the villains. Yes, they would be the villains. You shouldn't be coughing in people's faces.
And that's under any circumstance, by the way. I don't care if it's during a pandemic or not. If you are coughing in somebody else's face, you deserve to be punched square in the nose.
This text says, day one, over a year ago, when they said no gatherings, me and my buddies got together in the garage and had cold ones. Neighbors called cops. Cops said, got no time for this BS.
Is that my neighbor that's texting in right now?
Those are some of the heroes, too.
Because our neighbors, our next-door neighbors, have been going strong this entire time.
Is that right?
And I'm obviously not one to judge, but I was like, all right, you're rolling with it there. Good luck.
Oh, the people that, hey, if you went hardcore, you're one of the heroes, too. No problem there. If you were somewhere in the middle, totally fine. As long as you're doing it respectfully, you do whatever you need to do. Take whatever level of risk you feel like you need to take, and we'll see how many incentives are created. Ohio's going with $1 million and free education. Alabama says you can drive the Talladega track. What do we need to do in the state of Texas, Trey? Like maybe we should help the state think of these things. Like, what is it? What are those experiences? Free trip to Fiesta, Texas? What is the? Is there a Six Flags thing? Is it Longhorn and Aggie tickets? Like, that's easy for Longhorn and Aggie fans. Give them free tickets, and that should be enough. Rangers fans, Cowboys fans, Texans fans, you're going to do a lot more than say they can come to the games because they're not going to be that interesting.
Yeah.
But what else could you do in the state?
We're not as easily swayed as the Alabamas and the Ohios are of the world.
No, they're more of a simple folk, and we are a little more complex.
Like, I feel like the easy route with, let's say, Florida is not having to pay alimony or child support for a year. That may get some more people on board in America's most flaccid member.
Ooh, that's interesting. What about like car dealers? Are any car dealers going to go severe discounts or change the financing or we'll make your first five payments for you or something like that? Scott Crossett, Apple Leasing, are you out there? Do you have any new ideas for the people incentivizing the vaccine?
New Austin resident Elon Musk. Perhaps he can offer up some free cars that he promises.
There you go.
The self-driving technology actually works, and they're not going to burst into flames.
Yeah, you don't want that. Do a free drawing every week. Somebody gets a Tesla. What are those things worth? 100 grand, right? Something like that?
Yeah, especially if you start loading it up with some of the interior stuff.
There you go. Fully loaded Tesla. Give one away per week once they open the factory. That's still a ways away. Then if you get the vaccine, maybe you get, you're in for the Tesla lottery.
That factory is massive.
It's kind of big, yeah.
Do you drive past that every day?
I don't always go that route, but yes, if I go that way and get on the toll, when you hit that toll flyover, you get a perfect angle of it. You're right. It's incredibly big.
It's like, is this necessary? Are we just doing this for show? Are we doing this because we're in Texas and you can afford the land?
I love that you use the word necessary. I'm going to go with no. No, it's not necessary. There's no
is
way.
Is it frivolous?
There's no way it is necessary. Waive baggage fees on airlines. What about that? Somebody suggest that on the line. Could be. Have a picnic on the Aggie field. Now, what about that? Can we offer up? Here it is. What if we offer up experiences on the field?
The Talladega method is probably the way to go.
How about the dream you've always had of proposing at DKR? You and your girl have been dating for a while. You've always wanted to propose. And you don't have special hookups like people I've known that got to have that at the 50-yard line. And that's a great story. You don't have the Trevor Lawrence hookup at Clemson, but they offer it to you.
Mm.
You prove your vaccination. You get your vaccination. And we will give you an hour on the field at a later date and do whatever you want. Have a meal. Bring a cooler. Take a nap. You can do whatever you want.
What about getting to ride Bevo like a horse?
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah, too many waivers, I think. Now, that's risk. That's a risk there. See, that's where you'd have to explain to me how the vaccine is more of a risk than riding Bevo. Come on, dude.
What about getting to doggy sit y'all's dog, Reveille, for the night? Would you want to do that?
Yeah, I think I'd need a little more than that.
Okay.
I mean, nothing.
Jeez, I mean, the dog barks, you get out of class, but you don't want to show it enough respect to have it hang out with you for the night?
Look, I got no problem with Reveille. I'm just saying
is that because if the dog hops up on bed next to Wendy, you have to sleep on the floor? You don't want to run that risk?
That's definitely part of it. But no, first of all, I don't know what kind of dog Reveille is away from all the handlers. I don't want to get a bad image of Reveille.
Those dogs are never meet your puppy heroes.
Exactly, never meet your heroes, man. Never meet your 4-star general heroes. I don't want to do that.
The dog knows how to not bark in public, but it won't shut the F up when it's in the backyard.
But see, that's a great idea too. Incentivize it if you're a dog school. A&M, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Georgia. What about Georgia? If you could get a Georgia fan and you'd have somebody that brings Uga to the house, oh my God. Come on, man.
Just make sure it's not Bevo's house.
Don't bring it to Bevo.
Unless that helps you get the vaccine.
All right, do you think if you showed Uga like a really good HD quality picture of Bevo, he would just run the other way? Like, you wouldn't even need the actual animal.
Oh.
Do you think it's still in his brain?
Uga would number one right there on the spot. Uga is dealing with Bevo PTSD.
Yeah, he's got to be. I would after that.
PBSD, I guess, is what they call it.
This text says, are you guys absolutely idiots? Well, yes, before you even continue.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Bribing someone to get a vaccine is awful. How about we focus on freedom of medical choice without being hounded? That's there, too.
Oh, my God.
No,
how about we focus on having a sense of humor there, guy?
And I'm not saying hounding. We don't need to hound anybody. I'm just saying there's incentives. That's what life's about. Life's about incentives.
We're having fun with this based on two states that are literally bribing people to get the vaccine. One by letting hillbillies drive on the Talladega racetrack for 2 laps, and then Ohio offering people the false promise of becoming millionaires because they take a couple shots.
What if,
having some fun with that. Chill out.
What if you let super geeks spend a day with the Batmobile or the General Lee in the South? That's a good one for the southern states. Get those people fired up. You can spend a day with the General Lee and John Schneider and Tom Wopat show up and hang out with you for like a couple hours. You get a meal. You're hanging out. You get to drive the General Lee. Take as many pictures as you want.
Well, those two are going to show up even if you don't invite them. I mean, what are they up to these days? Here's the caveat: if you actually do get to drive the General Lee,
is that Bo Duca if they're sitting in on that lawn? Yeah, it is.
If you actually do get to drive the General Lee, it's only done if you make a concerted effort to try and jump a crick.
Yeah, you got to jump the crick, no doubt about it. By the way, if John Schneider could administer my vaccine, then I don't care how scared I am of the vaccine. If I'm a deep southerner, I'm letting John Schneider do that.
No.
John Schneider gets to give me the vaccine.
Uncle Jesse, I think, would be the best option there. If you're having to go with somebody from that world, because Uncle Jesse is probably regularly administering things to the farm animals.
I would love for that to be an option. He has passed on. And I know this because he's buried near Waxahachie.
Oh, that's right.
He lived there for a lot of his life. But yes, if Denver Pyle was an option, I would go Denver Pyle as well.
What about Boss Hogg?
I'd rather have Bo Duke. I was a Bo Duke guy.
What about
Bo or Daisy?
What about Roscoe?
It's Bo or Daisy. Nah, I'm not going to trust Roscoe.
What?
No.
Roscoe Picoultre.
Always felt a little shaky to me. Always felt like wasn't going to be a steady hand.
You get to hang out with the Basset Hound, though, afterwards.
Now, Flash could do it. I'd let Flash administer the vaccine. That's different. Flash, I'd hang out. Flash and Reveille. Can I hang out with those two?
Okay.
Then I might get the vaccine.
Okay. Bo or Luke Duke gives you the vaccine, and you get to hang out for the night with Daisy Duke afterwards. She gets to nurse you back to good health. In her prime.
Oh, in her prime. Well, that's a yes.
I'm not talking about Catherine Bach in 2021.
I'm not trying to be cruel to you, Chad. We're talking about happy vaccine stories here. All right, coming up, where are we at in society? Trey's got a story about Pokemon cards. We're happy now because we're about to not be happy on the horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Come on, John.
Bad medicine.
All right. Bad medicine. Medicine by Bon Jovi joins the list, along with Wild Thing by Tone Loc, Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses, and Bust a Move by Young MC. They all have something in common. It involves a really stupid, ridiculous day that's coming up at 2:30. Okay. The most successful videos MTV ever had.
Nope.
Damn it. Okay. We'll find out what that is coming up a little later on.
It's a very self-serving, ridiculous holiday, Chad.
Self-serving for you or someone else?
For anybody who chooses to celebrate it.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I don't have another guess right now. All right. Let's go. Where are we at so we can get mad at this weird trend?
Where are we at in society today?
Oh, my gosh, Chad. I think you have to go back to the 1990s to find something so ridiculous and trivial that people were apparently hurting one another over. Back in the 90s, it was Air Jordans, where kids were literally getting killed for their Air Jordans. And that was stupid enough. But I gotta get it with tennis shoes a little bit more than I do this next thing.
They're useful. I mean, you can wear them.
And they looked cool, too.
Stuff.
We go to Walmart and Target across America, both of which have said that they are no longer going to carry Pokemon cards.
Here we go.
Or other sports trading cards due to safety issues and apparently trying to ensure the safety of our guests and team members, according to Target's press release. Now, the new policy actually goes into effect today. Customers will still be able to buy the various brands of cards, which include Pokemon, MLB, NFL, NBA trading cards at Target.com, but they can't buy them in person anymore because Target is worried after a number of crimes have occurred in stealing these cards and fights have broken out amongst people, either fighting for packs of cards or people who buy the cards and then get jacked outside the store.
I guess it's pretty obvious which is the most embarrassing that this is happening with. I guess it's the Pokemon, but Pokemon baseball and football? People are like fighting over baseball cards at a Target? That happens?
Yes, and Walmart too, by the way.
And Walmart? Yeah, right, we're not trying to just make it about Target. I told you before the show, Trey, I've never been a card collector of any kind. Wasn't into baseball, wasn't into football cards, certainly wasn't into the Pokemon thing.
Can I tell you why that's a little bit surprising?
Okay.
Because you are not only a big sports fan and have been for your entire life, but you also enjoy some of the minutiae of it.
I do. You're right.
And the sports cards play into that.
I know. My dad was never into it. I think that's probably the biggest reason. Okay. Had he been a collector, maybe I would have gotten into it. But, if he'd shown me like a Hank Aaron rookie card early in my life or something, I wish we had one of those. I'm sure that'd be worth something. But, yeah, I don't know what it was. Something about it never appealed to me. And then the closest I was would have been the Transformers. But that was like action figure stuff. And then Pokemon just took it to the next level of, no, we don't need to make figures. Just make them buy cards. And then we had Garbage Pail Kids. That happened for a while. I watched kids trade those and fight over them at lunch and stuff and didn't realize it. So I'm hoping these are kids that are fighting over it at Walmart. But I'm sure there's some adults, too, fighting over Pokemon cards. Are there full-grown adults going after Pikachu cards and that red ball with the dot on it or whatever it is?
I'm trying to find the specifics. Apparently it came from an incident happened in Brookfield, Wisconsin last week, where a fight broke out at Target after a disagreement over sports trading cards. Police say the altercation ended after a man who had been attacked by four others pulled out a gun.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's kind of defending himself at that point.
No. The oh, God was for four people jumping one person.
Yeah.
Over a collector card.
Pokemon trading cards have surged in popularity, leading to shortages. According to a support page for the Pokemon trading card game, the Pokemon company says they are aware of issues tied to higher demand and global shipping constraints. Quote, "We understand the inconvenience can be disappointing for fans, and we are working to address it where it is within our control."
Somebody says, I don't think baseball or football cards are the biggest part of that problem. I think it's Pokemon from what they're understanding. I hope it is.
These Pokemon dorks, man. Remember, what was it, a couple years ago where people were just stopping their cars in the middle of busy roads to go take pictures on a lawn?
Because of the Pokemon Go.
Because of the app.
Virtual game. Yeah, that app game and everything. Somebody says, we are talking about people at Walmart, right? Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
This Target says, to...
This says HEB has sensor locks on the Pokemon cards. What? That's real?
Yeah.
Sensor. Look, it's frustrating enough that it used to be, it's now changed, but it used to be when I went to buy a printer cartridge, I had to have someone unlock it for me. Because I guess people were stealing printer cartridges.
Or razors.
But now my printer cartridge is so obsolete that now they just throw it out there. They practically hand it to me when I walk in the door now, when I go get the printer cartridge. But yeah, I did not realize the Pokemon thing was that big of a deal. But hey, everybody's got their stuff. Everybody's got their stuff. I've just never been a collector type. I've never been that because I want to play with it, Trey.
Right.
I was a play with it kid.
I never would have been good with the collectible action figures.
Right.
Because I was going to rip the package open and play with the thing. That's what it was created for.
I owned a ton of stuff that would have been valuable later, specifically Star Wars. I wouldn't taken the original Luke Skywalker in the white outfit with the slide-out lightsaber and leaving it in a package.
No.
Oh, no. No, Luke was all over the house. Luke was involved in adventures all over my house, including the ultimate torture, being frozen in my freezer in a bowl of water. I did that all the time. That was my torture.
Very well done there.
My homemade Han Solo thing is I would pick a, we'd have the storyline, they'd get dunked in the water, and then an hour later I'd come back and they were all frozen in the ice. It was great.
Well, it really makes sense when you're doing it with the Han Solo.
Sure. Well, you know, we did that, a little nod to the... Not to the movie. Han would tell me he loved me, and I'd say, I know. And then I'd freeze him in the freezer. It's fantastic.
What do you mean?
In the movies, I love you and I know.
Oh, okay. I was like, huh? What? Yeah. Well, maybe you would have been into the Pokemon Go thing back in the day, talking to your action figures like that. But it was an ode to the movie. I get it.
Maybe the greatest Han Solo moment ever is when he's about to be frozen and Princess Leia looks him dead in the face and says, I love you. And his response is, I know. And then they reverse it later, because something happens in Return of the Jedi where he says, I love you, and Princess Leia says, I know. It was great. They're one of the greatest Hollywood couples ever.
Well, it's also not surprising to hear that George Lucas was copying an old script with a new storyline.
He did do that. By the way, he's 77 today. Happy birthday to George Lucas.
He is. Best non-Star Wars George Lucas project. We can discuss that on the other side.
Wow. Yeah, you have to give me a list of those. I don't even know any non-Star Wars George Lucas projects.
Me neither.
Couldn't even name one for you.
Indiana Jones? No, that's Spielberg.
He might have been involved, though. We have to double check that.
Let's look at that.
Maybe he was involved. We'll take a look at that coming up. Also, your 2 o'clock hour, new Pac-12 commissioner. We'll tell you who he is and why it might matter to the Big 12 and the rest of college football. Then at 2:30, Trey's going to tell me what's going on with this weird musical puzzle he's been throwing out today. And we'll tell you why else May 14th and a little bit of the 15th matters to us today. Hope you're having a good Friday. This is The Horn.